You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today for Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. I am Scott Engel, the Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. I'm here with you 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning, bring you the latest in what's happening in fantasy sports, some added insight and analysis, and what's to come today and in the future. And, of course, it's a great time of year in fantasy sports. Yes, football is over, but you keep coming to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for lots more. Of course, you're playing in daily or some sort of postseason draft league. We're down to the final four in the NFL. A lot of the sports world continuing to buzz about the Minneapolis Miracle with Stephon Diggs and Case Keenum yesterday, as they have a lot of momentum heading into Philadelphia for Sunday. A lot of people talking about the fact that they can't believe that Case Keenum, Nick Foles, and Blake Bortles are three of the final four quarterbacks remaining. Not since Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson have we seen something like this. These kind of quarterbacks this deep into the NFL postseason. It's going to change the way a lot of people think about the quarterback position. So, lots more to talk about in the NFL. A lot of coaching news, rumors, etc. What's the latest on Le'Veon Bell? We'll bring you to that. We'll bring you all that today and more. Of course, we'll talk about the NBA. It was a very busy day on the schedule. Of course, a lot of day games, as always, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as that is a tradition. But tempers flared, especially in the Rockets-Clippers game, where reportedly Austin Rivers, who was injured, was yelling at Rockets players a lot from the bench as the Clippers were wrapping up that victory. Blake Griffin nudging Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni reportedly cursing at him. And a bunch of Rockets players trying to barge into the Clippers locker room after the game, including Chris Paul and James Harden. So things got very, very chippy in that game. Also between Ben Simmons and Kyle Lowry in the Toronto game, there was an altercation as well. But lots of injury news to report, quality performances. There was a major trade in Major League Baseball yesterday that could finally spur some movement. It looks like the Andrew McCutchen era is finally over in Pittsburgh. He'll be remembered as one of the all-time greats to ever wear the yellow and black, one of the greatest Bucks ever. But we'll tell you where he moved on to. Also, the National Hockey League and one of the top esports teams makes its way into a new game. All that's coming up today on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you miss us live, you can always listen on demand.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Of course, everybody knows the matchups by now. For the conference championship games on Sunday, Philadelphia is going to host Minnesota. Nick Foles versus Case Keenum. And the New England Patriots will host the upstart Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Titans, after losing to the Patriots, the drama continued yesterday as the Titans and head coach Mike Mularkey mutually agreed to part ways, as they put it to the public, which was very interesting because after the Titans had beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in the wild card round, we had heard reports that Mularkey was actually going to be extended. Before the wild card game, we heard that his job was on the line. So I guess people can only speculate what happened here. Mularkey was overall regarded, though, as having underachieved with this team. So in the end, it should come as no shock here. Maybe he'll hook on as a coordinator somewhere else. So already a host of candidates, according to published reports, have emerged to replace Mularkey. Rams offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur, who led the 10th-ranked offense in the NFL and was part of the revival there with the Rams, is named as a top candidate. This team went from being one of the worst in the league to one of the best all year, as Jared Goff, Todd Gurley certainly turned things around, and the additions of Cooper Kupp, Sammy Watkins, and Robert Woods certainly helped. Texans defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel. Now, the Texans ranked 20th in overall defense this past season with Vrabel's first season as defensive coordinator. But it's hard to just look at that number in a vacuum because the team was without several of their top players on defense and also on offense, which spent the defense has spent a lot of time on the field. The year before, Vrabel as the linebackers coach was part of a unit that led the Texans to a number one overall ranking. So I think the savvy people with the Titans or others who are looking at him for this job have looked at his performance pre-2017. Panthers defensive coordinator Steve Wilks, who has been mentioned as a prime candidate for more than one job, led the 7th-ranked defense in the NFL this past year, and the Panthers have been regarded as a solid unit under his guide. Also, Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, as the Eagles offense was ranked 7th in the league during the regular season, is a reported candidate, according to Titans insiders. So already, we have 4 possible candidates to take over for Mike Mularkey with the Titans. One of those candidates, it was reported earlier yesterday, Josh McDaniels actually wanted the Titans job more than any other, but according to NFL.com last night, now Josh McDaniels, who led the number one offense in the NFL again this past year, is expected to be named as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And also from NFL Network, Cowboys linebacker coach Matt Eberflus is expected to serve as his defensive coordinator if he indeed takes the job as reported. So we'll have to see where Matt Patricia lands, as we're going to see a lot of change in New England after this latest potential Super Bowl run. Patricia considered one of the favorites for that New York job. The Seattle Seahawks hiring Ken Norton Jr. as their defensive coordinator just a week ago. Norton was named as the assistant head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, but there was an out in his contract that allowed him to take a coordinator position. Now, this comes as a curious hire in some ways because Norton was actually fired by the Raiders in November. At the time, as noted by the Seattle Times this morning, Oakland ranked 26th in total defense, allowing 367 yards per game, and was the only team in the league without an interception and tied for last in the league with sacks with 14. At the time of his firing, they also allowed 30 or more points, the Raiders, in 4 of their past 6 games at the time that he was let go. But Pete Carroll has called this a comfortable hire, because Norton had been with him from 2004 to 2015 in both USC and Seattle, and he had coached the linebackers from 2010 to 2015. So he comes back to an organization that knows him and he knows them. Mike Solari, the former Giants offensive line coach, was named, reportedly will be named, as the replacement for Tom Cable. Now, cumulatively, this means that also Chris Richard is not going to come back as the defensive coordinator after the Seahawks finished 11th in total defense this past year and also had to deal with a lot of key injuries such as Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Cliff Avril. But this pretty much puts the whole coaching overhaul in place. Pete Carroll overseeing a lot of this because he is the executive vice president of the team. Pretty much cleaning house with guys that he knows that he's comfortable with, like Norton and Schottenheimer, who he reportedly called and offered the job to. But from the outside, these certainly seem like uninspiring hires. Brian Schottenheimer has never been an outstanding coordinator. Mike Solari did a very questionable job in New York. And Norton in Oakland, you can make the case that he was a better position coach than he was a coordinator, but yet the Seahawks are going to go back to him. So this is not going to raise a lot of optimism about Seattle's performance going into next year. According to NFL.com, Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur has emerged as the Giants' top choice to replace Ben McAdoo. Of course, Matt Patricia mentioned a lot as well. The Vikings with the 11th overall ranked offense this year. And it's very impressive when you consider what they got out of Case Keenum. And also they lost Dalvin Cook at running back. So Shurmur is likely to move on, as we have all known. Also, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporting that there is a definite possibility that the Steelers are going to part ways with offensive coordinator Todd Haley. The Steelers had the number 3 offense in the NFL this year, but their play calling has often come under fire, no more so than in Sunday's divisional round playoff loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's long been friction between Haley and some players internally, according to published reports, and the Steelers may feel that the talent is just so good that they can move on and get better results with somebody else. According to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and this is so Browns to a lot of people, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mike Mularkey, who was let go by the Titans yesterday, is now on the Browns' radar for their offensive coordinator job, which would strike so many people as so Cleveland Browns, and why are they doing this after the biggest criticism about Mularkey was that he and his crew did not get enough out of this offense. It's going to be an inspiring hire for the Browns if that happens. But we're seeing a lot of familiar names land or be rumored in other spots. It's almost like a lot of the same candidates or coaches are getting recycled elsewhere. Let's move on to some player news that doesn't have anything to do with coaching. Le'Veon Bell, according to ESPN, says he definitely wants to re-sign with the Steelers. Of course, this comes just about less than a week after he said that if they were to franchise him, that he would not accept it, that he'd possibly even retire. And also, you don't know what's going to happen with him in free agency. The Steelers might not budge here. I think everybody would want to assume that Le'Veon Bell is back with the Steelers, but you can't certainly bank on it. The Steelers reportedly on Sunday are expecting to franchise him. Bell doesn't want that, so we could be headed for some sort of showdown or another holdout here at least. We'll talk more and give you the latest on Rex Burkhead as we continue to cover the NFL next on Fantasy Sports Today.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Are you thinking of giving Daily Fantasy Sports a try? Well, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week with free entry. Simply sign up and enter. This week will feature Fantasy Factor's special 200. This week, you go on Fantasy Factor, check out their free rolls, and always log on to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. Back to the NFL. According to published reports, Drew Brees, who turned 39 years old yesterday, expects to re-sign with the Saints. Brees, I think you can question whether he'll be a top 10 fantasy quarterback or next year, though, but he should at least be a back end QB1. The numbers this year, not quite in line with what we've saw in the past, as this team is going to continue to heavily lean on its running backs. Mark Ingram is not going to be a free agent. He didn't make the all pro team, so it's going to be a combination of Kamara and Ingram again, with Kamara probably being the lead statistical producer. Allen Robinson, as he continues to make his way back from a major ACL injury, according to published reports, he is expecting to be healthy and ready to pass any physicals before free agency opens in March. We'll see if Robinson lands with a team here that will give him a chance in terms of reviving his career as an all-pro type wide receiver. He should be one of the hotter names on the market, depending on his condition. If he doesn't come back to the Jaguars, they've already proved that they can win without him. And for this week's conference championship game, the NFL Network is reporting that Rex Burkhead is expected to play. What his role will be remains to be seen. This could really turn the New England running back situation into a committee again. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel, here with you 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning, bring you the latest in fantasy sports and what's to come. It's where you want to stop every morning for all the latest updates. Let's move on to the National Basketball Association, where Sacramento Kings head coach Dave Joerger told reporters that he's going to be resting two veterans in every game going forward. This is no surprise. On Monday against the Thunder, both Zach Randolph and Vince Carter were out. And this should really affect Randolph, Carter, and George Hill the most going forward. There has been speculation for a while now that Zach Randolph could get traded as well. So we're going to have to wait and see how that shakes out. But it definitely affects a lot of fantasy basketball strategy. Not as a surprise to anybody who follows the Kings or follows fantasy basketball regularly. But if you have weekly moves, well, I have Zach Randolph in two leagues. You know, maybe I cut him here. If you're playing daily, you know, a lot of the Kings' younger guys are going to get a chance to step forward now. And you'll have to know who that is on a night-to-night basis. Kyle Lowry returned for the Toronto Raptors, but missed 13 of 16 shots from the field, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He played 37 minutes. You should expect better from Lowry going forward. Fred VanVleet, who had played well at times while Lowry was out, suffered a right knee contusion, and we don't know what his status is going to be for Wednesday, but with Lowry back now, he returns to fantasy relevancy, obviously. DeAndre Jordan was out again last night, and Doc Rivers is saying that it's unlikely that he'll play Wednesday as well against Denver. Willie Reed stepped into the void. He started 14 points and 13 rebounds, 2 block shots, and 2 steals. Also, Tyler Johnson Tyler Johnson injured his ankle yesterday as the Heat saw their 7-game winning streak snapped. He may not play on Wednesday. The good news is there is no MRI scheduled for him. As you heard in our top of the hour news update, Paul Gasol revealing Monday that he's been coping with a hand injury. It would not be surprising to see the Spurs rest him for Wednesday's game. J.J. Redick suffering a leg injury on Monday that was identified as a left leg contusion. He finished with 15 points and 5 rebounds. The Sixers next play on Thursday, so we'll have to wait and see on his availability for that game. Frank Kaminsky suffering a sprained right ankle. Of course, it's too early to know about the grade of it just yet. In the fourth quarter, he finished with 5 points and 5 rebounds. Jordan Bell started for the Warriors in their wins over the Cavs yesterday. Zaza Pachulia came off the bench. Bell only 6 points in 14 minutes. Lonzo Ball did not play yesterday because of a knee injury. He is uncertain for Wednesday's game for the Lakers. Tim Hardaway Jr., who had come back on Friday for the Knicks, was not able to play yesterday against the Brooklyn Nets in a Knicks win. Sitting on the bench, we don't know what his status is for the next game. Isaiah Thomas also came back Monday as the Celtics continued to rest him here and there. As the Cavaliers continue to rest him here, and just missed 13 of 21 shots and 6 of 7 3-pointers, finished with 19 points. Let's look at some of the top performances from yesterday's very busy day in the NBA. Kevin Durant getting it done as Golden State swept Cleveland in the rematch of last year's finals. They've won both of these games. Winning yesterday, 118 to 108, Durant with 32 points in 35 minutes, 9 of 16 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. LeBron James in the loss, 32 points in 36 minutes, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 12 of 18 from the field, 8 of 13 from the line. Another big game for Lou Williams, who continues to get it done night after night. 31 points in 40 minutes, 12 of 19 from the field, 4 of 8 from three-point range, and 9 assists as the Clippers beat Houston 113-102. If you're just waking up, there was a lot of controversy in that game as Blake Griffin was having words with a lot of the Houston players. Even brushed Mike D'Antoni on the way out. Mike D'Antoni reportedly uttered a word to him that we can't repeat on the radio. Austin Rivers was reportedly yelling a lot of things from the bench at the Rockets players. This led a few Rockets players to take a reported back hallway after the game down to the Clippers locker room. It included James Harden and Chris Paul and Trevor Ariza, and they tried to barge into the Clippers locker room, according to published reports. Chris Paul had to be shoved out of the locker room, so we'll have to wait and see what the NBA is going to do about this discipline-wise. The Milwaukee Bucks bounced back and beat the Washington Wizards in Washington 104-95. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 27 points and a career-high 20 rebounds in 39 minutes. He was 9 for 23 from the field and also had 6 assists. Victor Oladipo, as Indiana gets it done again. They've been playing well since Oladipo came back. They beat Utah 109-94. Oladipo, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, hit 5 of 8 three-pointers. Joel Embiid, as Philadelphia beat Toronto last night, 117-111, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 11 for 21 from the field, but did miss 4 or 5 three-pointers. We mentioned about Blake Griffin to you. He's healthy again, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 35 minutes, 11 for 22 from the field, and 7 for 8 from the line. Dwight Howard continues to get it done as Charlotte won in Detroit, 118-107, 21 points and 7 rebounds in 36 minutes for Dwight Howard. in what was certainly the upset of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the Spurs fell to the Hawks 102-99. Still, LaMarcus Aldridge continues to do what he does just on a regular basis. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 11 for 21 from the field. John Wall in the loss to Milwaukee, 27 points and 9 assists. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as the Lakers lost to Memphis. You know, the Lakers had a nice little winning streak going for them, and then they lose to a team alike of the Grizzlies. 123-114 when they were without Lonzo Ball. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 8 for 16 from the field, and 6 of 10 from three-point range. Steph Curry in Golden State's win over Cleveland, 23 points in 33 minutes, also had 8 assists. Russell Westbrook was ejected in Oklahoma City's win over Sacramento, 95-88. He had 19 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists in 33 minutes. 8 of 14 from the field and only took 1 3-pointer. Ish Smith stepping forward for Detroit, 19 points and 10 assists. He was a good pickup about 2 weeks ago. Tyreek Evans leading the way for Memphis. He's been their best player this season. 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 12 assists. How about that? Good big man passing from Tyreek Evans. We'll tell you about more leaders from yesterday, including Kristaps Porzingis, next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Make sure you go to dailyroto.com because you definitely want to get their premium product. Nobody else has anything like it for daily fantasy basketball. Lineup alerts in your inbox every morning. So make sure you get the NBA seasonal pass right now for your best value. You get a premium podcast, Cliff Notes on every game. Well, you know, Cliff Notes means for those of you who didn't grow up with that, it means they give you short tidbits on every game, customizable daily projections, also DFS strategy guides. We mentioned the lineup alerts. They're both on the site and in your inbox. Also, premium tools, including a lineup optimizer. And also, right around tip-off or before tip-off, you have to check out their subscriber chats. So check it all out at dailyroto.com right now. You can get a seasonal pass, a monthly pass, or even try it out with a weekly pass. If you want to compete in daily fantasy basketball, nothing beats dailyroto.com. All right, some of the other top scorers from last night. Dennis Schroeder from yesterday afternoon, actually. A lot of these games in the afternoon. Dennis Schroeder, as Atlanta beat San Antonio in the upset, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. The Knicks, with a win over Brooklyn, a rare road win in another borough for the Knicks as they beat Brooklyn 119-104. The Knicks are 3-0 against the Nets this year. Porzingis, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 8 for 14 of the field, 2 for 3 for three-pointers. With Tim Hardaway Jr. out again, Michael Beasley stepped up in a big way with 23 points and 10 rebounds. He now has 20-point outings in four of his last five games. Justin Holiday stepped forward in a big way with 25 points and a career-high 7 three-pointers in 11 attempts for the Chicago Bulls. Kemba Walker scoring 17 of his 20 in the second half as Charlotte beat Detroit 118-107. Goran Dragic, 22 points, 9 assists. Kelly Olynyk bounced back from an off game, 21 points and 8 assists. Eric Bledsoe with 23 yesterday. Chris Paul with 19 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Danny Green with 11 points yesterday, 16 rebounds. Damare Carroll, 22 points and 8 rebounds. Frank Ntilikina in the Knicks win, 10 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Larry Nance Jr., 15 points and 11 rebounds. And Kevin Love with 17 points and 7 rebounds. So that's pretty much it for yesterday in the NBA. You can always get the latest NBA updates right here on Fantasy Sports Today every morning. We also give you what's coming for the upcoming night. And one other thing that we should note from last night, Zach LaVine in his second game back, 18 points in 20 minutes against the Heat. LaVine is being limited to 20 minutes in his return, but this team has won 12 of its last 14. There's a lot of trade rumors surrounding the Chicago Bulls, including Nikolai Mirotic. But this team has played really, really well recently. And now that LaVine is back, you know, this team has pretty much its core of Chris Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen, which are all the proceeds from that draft day trade. So the Bulls are going to be an exciting team to watch, not only for real purposes, but for fantasy purposes as well. Let's tell you what's happening on Tuesday night in the National Basketball Association. It's going to be a light night, but for those of you who like to play on short slates here, you go to dailyroto.com. And, of course, you listen to Lineup Lock Live tonight here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Tony Sincott and Dane Martinez from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Only 4 games in the association. The starts at 7 p.m. Eastern with the Timberwolves and the Magic. The line is Minnesota minus 8.0. The over-under is 217. The Magic are skidding. They've lost 12 of 19 at home. The Timberwolves coming off a 5-0 homestand. The Pelicans will take on the Celtics on NBA TV at 7:30 p.m. Eastern from the TD Garden. The line is Boston minus 4.5. The over-under is 214. The Pelicans, 500 team away from home. The Celtics, 34-10 overall, 18-5 at home. The Mavericks will take on the Nuggets. There's a game in Denver's minus 5.5. Give me the Nuggets. The over-under is 210.5. And at 10 p.m. Eastern, they have the Suns on a back-to-back after they upset the Spurs yesterday. We'll try to do it on the road against the Portland Trailblazers, who are right now just one game over 500. That game will be on 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern on NBA TV from the Moda Center in Portland. I don't bet on the Suns winning 2 games in a row here. So that's it for the NBA today. We'll come up with a little National Hockey League for you in just a few minutes. Also a little bit of esports, not too much news. The Overwatch League will begin again tomorrow. League of Legends set to begin in 4 days. Just in case you missed it, some of the other top stories, the Titans and Mike Mularkey mutually agreeing to part ways. The Seahawks hired Ken Norton as their defensive coordinator. Pat Shurmur is now the Giants' top choice to replace Ben McAdoo. The Steelers may move on from Todd Haley. And Le'Veon Bell says he definitely wants to come back to the Steelers. Drew Brees expecting to re-sign with the Saints, according to published reports. Kyle Lowry was back last night. Fred Van Vliet with a right knee contusion. Tyler Johnson has an ankle injury. No MRI scheduled. Paul Gasol dealing with a right shooting hand injury. J.J. Redick, left leg contusion. Frank Kaminsky with a right ankle sprain. Lonzo Ball continued to miss time yesterday with a knee injury. Tim Hardaway Jr. was also out for the Knicks. Let's go on to Major League Baseball. And we know it's been a very, very slow offseason. Some of these big names continue to be out there, like Yu Darvish, Will he end up on the Yankees? The trade rumors, some of them are turning into reality now, though. We saw Gerrit Cole get moved over the weekend, and immediately there were reports that Andrew McCutchen was next to go and that the Pirates were ready to move him, as been rumored since the winter meetings, since the offseason started, now that they got rid of Cole. So yesterday it happened. As Andrew McCutchen was traded to the San Francisco Giants with cash for right-handed relief pitcher Kyle Crick, who should serve in middle relief. Outfielder Brian Reynolds, who was in high A ball last year and is regarded as one of the top prospects in the Giants system. He should ultimately be the coup, if any, that can come from this trade, but it'll be a while before you see him in the majors. Also, the Giants getting $500,000 in international bonus pool money. So, the era is over for Andrew McCutchen in Pittsburgh. He will be regarded as one of the greatest players to ever wear the black and gold. He is past, his best years are behind him at 31 years old. But last year, you saw him hit over well over 280. He still hit 28 homers. You would think that maybe going to San Francisco, well, maybe it'll sap his power a little bit. Maybe he'll hit 25 homers. But then again, PNC Park was not a major launching pad itself. McCutchen, you know, still a good number two / number three fantasy outfielder. Lean more towards the number two. What you see is what you get at 31. He's not old at all for an outfielder, but doesn't look like he's going to play center field. Published reports indicating that the Giants would prefer to play Hunter Pence in left field and maybe McCutchen in right. That can only save his legs. So what's going to happen to center field for the San Francisco Giants? Because Denard Span is gone. It's part of this Giants outfield overhaul. According to ESPN, the Giants have been having heavy discussions with the Kansas City Royals regarding Lorenzo Cain and are making a strong push for him. So the San Francisco outfield could consist of Lorenzo Cain, Andrew McCutchen, and Hunter Pence. And especially if Pence is able to stay healthy, this could be, you know, one of the more impressive outfields in the National League. Pence has seen better years. McCutchen has seen better years. And Cain, sometimes injuries are often an issue with him. But these are still three guys that can really, really play. And this would give the Giants a good outfield. A very, very disappointing year for San Francisco last season, and they're really moving to get things back on track. As far as McCutchen, maybe a 6th to 8th round pick this year. In other fantasy baseball news, The Athletic confirming that the Nationals have reached a 2-year agreement with Howie Kendrick for $7 million. Last year, Kendrick hitting .315 with 9 home runs, 41 RBIs, and 12 stolen bases. He should be a top utility man for the Nationals, but the fact that he's not going to start really depresses his fantasy value, except for on days and certain days in daily, what he's able to play in the matchup is right. Also, according to The Athletic, which has recently become a new top source of baseball reporting, as they now have guys like Ken Rosenthal on staff, they have reported that the Blue Jays have signed veteran outfielder Curtis Granderson to a 1-year, $5 million deal. Granderson, playing for the Mets and the Dodgers last year, hit a combined .212 with 26 homers and 64 RBIs. Toronto having some real needs at the corner outfield spot. Granderson is 36 years old. He has certainly seen better days, but he can still hit for power, although he's going to strike out a lot. The Blue Jays may have not entirely fleshed out their outfield, as they still need to do things at the corner spots there. Granderson should at least play part-time there, and this is a guy that can still give you some power in an AL-only league. But, of course, as we can all see, he can give you a drain on your batting average. But Granderson will walk, and that should certainly make his on-base percentage a little better. The Twins signing Addison Reed to a two-year, $16.5 million contract, and it looks like he's going to set up for Fernando Rodney, who continues to look ageless. But that's good insurance, because if Rodney somehow is not able to get the job done, we've seen that Addison Reed can certainly do the job if needed. He does have closing experience. Ideally, some of these teams would like to have him in a setup role, and that's where he's going to be. All right, let's move on to some other fantasy baseball news here. We'll do that after the break. Has Jake Arrieta found a landing spot? Will he find a landing spot soon? That is next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the program in there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
PWN.GG is a site that provides all the odds and stats for esports betting, with its Counter-Strike Global Offensive info being just the start. PWN.GG examines players, maps, and teams to provide in-depth statistics for bettors, and they have a special promo code for listeners here. If you use the code 12PUNCH, you'll get 50% off a 12-month subscription to PWN.GG, as well as a free two-week trial. That's PWN.GG for all your esports info. And, of course, listen to 1-2 Punch tonight with Doreen T at 10 p.m. Eastern, and always listen on demand. Let's go back to some of the baseball news here. The Brewers, according to SiriusXM, are continuing to strongly consider adding Jake Arrieta. Mike Moustakas, according to MASN, may be linked to the Orioles, but SiriusXM says the Brewers are also interested. And the Detroit Free Press reporting that the Tigers are open to trading Nick Castellanos. He hit .272 with 26 home runs and 101 RBIs last year after a slow start. He really brought out. And Jimmy Nelson, according to the Brewers' official website, is scheduled to begin a throwing program on Friday. It'll put him ahead of schedule, but they still don't know when he's going to return. In esports news, according to several sources, including VentureBeat, Team Dignitas has announced that it has signed a Super Smash Bros. Melee team, the first in the esports organization's history. Team Dignitas is one of the most recognizable names in esports and was acquired by the Philadelphia 76ers in 2016. This is their first venture into the Super Smash Brothers Melee arena. In the National Hockey League, Sebastian Aho, more bad news on him. Recently came back, and now he's been diagnosed with a concussion and suffered a lower body injury on Sunday. Montreal's Andrew Shaw suffered a lower body injury Saturday, and he'll be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. Here's what else happened in the National Hockey League last night. Tyler Seguin's goal with a delayed penalty man advantage gave Dallas a 3-2 win over Boston on Monday. Steven Johns and Alexander Radulov also scored for Dallas, and Carey Lehtinen stopped 30 shots. Zdeno Chara and Ryan Spooner scored as Boston rallied from a 2-0 deficit to send the game into overtime. The Bruins have not lost in regulation since December 14th. It was the Avalanche 3 and the Ducks 1. Nathan MacKinnon kept up his home scoring blitz with a goal. Jonathan Bernier stopped 33 shots, and Colorado beat Anaheim for its 7th straight victory. Matt Nieto and Colin Wilson also scored for the Avalanche. They are outscoring opponents 29-0 during their longest win streak since 2006. The Sharks beat the Kings 4-1 as Chris Tierney had a goal and an assist, and Martin Jones made 35 saves. San Jose beat the rival Kings for the 3rd straight time. Barclay Goodrow ended a lengthy goal drought for the Sharks. They had a 3-game, they built a 3-goal lead during another strong game by Jones against his former team. And it was the Islanders 5 and the Canadiens 4 in overtime. John Tavares scored his 2nd goal of the game, 1:51 into overtime. The Roto Experts are next. The return of Corey Parson, along with Matt Modica and Greg Sussman.